Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. Mac is on the mic, and with me we have Tracksuit Mike and Raw Way Tommy. Welcome, Giants Nation, to the NFL Draft episode. Boys, I don't know what else to say. How are we feeling? We were excited leading into it. We had a whole hour to talk about it. The draft has come and gone. I'll turn it over to you.
I don't think there's a Giants fan on earth that's dissatisfied with this draft, man. I mean, they really filled a lot of their needs, and they got great value across the board. I saw an analytical approach to the draft. I think it was from Sharp Football or one of those, maybe PFF, I can't remember. But the Giants did not reach for a single draft pick. They were all taken after expected draft.
Yeah, we talked last week about the big needs. They were the offensive line, specifically in the middle at center and guard, wide receiver, cornerback. And what does our guy Joe Shane go out and do? He delivers, right? In Shane we trust. We said it last year during the season. On Sundays, it's in Daboll we trust. Joe Shane, he went and picked up the pieces that we needed, the spots that we needed to fill in after free agency, gets us a cornerback in the first round, gets us a center in the second round, and gets us a first-round wide receiver in the third round. So, I never have a more exciting time watching men's names be called out on television hours after hours, especially when your team gets the guys they need.
No, absolutely. And I want to say something. A lot of Giant fans, not all of them, but some, a small percentage, were upset that the Giants had traded assets to trade up and get their guy, especially in the first round. Let me tell you something. The Giants of old would have sat there and let other GMs trade right in front of them for prospects that they knew that the Giants coveted to take them one pick ahead of them.
Like who? I can't think of any.
How far back are we going? I mean, Bears taking the linebacker right in front of them.
Mr. Leonard Floyd.
Yes. Oh, everybody knew the Giants loved Leonard Floyd. Loved
this. Who else?
There.
Who else is the other one who still is like really sticks in my thorn in my side?
The Eric Flowers draft, was it?
It was a Mr. Jack Conklin, traded up by the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, exactly.
Jerry Reese's ship leaked like a sieve. My God.
Yeah, I blame Mark Ross.
It's fucking Fort Knox over here now compared to what it used to be.
I know. I'm so happy I didn't hear any rumblings. I'm so happy. And I'm so happy that our GM is willing to trade up and get your guy. If you're that confident in getting the guy, just get him. Don't think twice about it. The Giants have, 10 picks in the draft, and they made, 7 selections? I'm not mad about that. Quality over quantity all day.
Tommy, 5th and 7th pick to move up one spot with the Jags to go get Deontay Banks. We talked about how this draft was – the value was really in those middle to, early late rounds there, given that it wasn't a top-heavy draft. How do you feel about it? Obviously, Mr. Tracksuit Michael is pro the trade-up.
At first, the trade gets made, and I go, oh, wow, we're giving up two spots, two picks to move up one spot, and there's multiple corners on the board. Could we have waited and kept our picks? But think about it. A 5th-rounder and a 7th-rounder are probably guys that are going to be bottom of the roster, rotational, practice squad players for you to move up that one spot and get the guy that you think fits Wink's system. Wink, who was very excited, big hug for Joe Shane getting the defensive player in the first round. But we're talking about guys that we wanted the Giants to get. I want to say 1 or 2 picks before the Ravens took Jonathan Ogden, a Hall of Fame left tackle. The Giants didn't get him. Hey, we trade up. History's a little different with a guy like that, playing for you. So if this is truly your guy that you want, Deontay Banks over a Joey Porter Jr., who, hey, it ended up being a great story for Joey. Upset he falls out of the first round, but gets to go play where his dad raised hell in Pittsburgh. and the Giants get their guy for pieces that might be cut in camp because we had more money this year.
Sports, Shame baby, it's year. Better than reality TV. You can't cook up some of these storylines, yeah. But I think you hit the nail on the head, Tommy, not to cut you off, is that the question really comes down to what is Deontay Banks' career going to look like compared to Joey Porter Jr.? Because I think there's a reason why we're behind the mics talking about it. Joe Shane is wheeling and dealing because I'm sitting here as a mock drafter being like, hell, two good cornerbacks. They're both, you know, have length. Joey Porter's a little bit taller. They're both going to be good fits for Wink. But clearly the people in that room saw a massive disparity between the two corners. When you're guaranteed to get one or the other and you give up assets, you can debate whether they're premium assets or not. I think they're totally worth it to get your guy, but, you know, not relevant. They are committed to it. They clearly thought there's a difference between Joey Porter and Deontay. And what the hell, boys? We gotta trust Joe Shane and company right now, right?
And yeah, absolutely. And the other reason you can give up those pieces is last year he was hamstrung. He had no money. We were up against the cap. This year he had flexibility, was able to fill spots, so we didn't just have to go in and draft, you know, the needs and reach for guys that we might have went after early. That's what let him be able to move away from, hey, I don't need two guys that I'm going to bring in here because I was able to bring in the guys I wanted in free agency, and now I'm going to fill out the roster with the guys that I want at the positions that I need.
No, absolutely. I was a little surprised they didn't take a guard or a linebacker. But I'm not mad about it. Listen, if they're confident in the guys they have, you know, second year Azudu, you got Okereke plus, you know.
Okereke. It's Okereke, I'm pretty sure.
Okereke.
So let's bring it back to Deontay Banks. I think one thing that we haven't talked about, let's just dive right into the juiciness here. Trade aside, we nailed it that it was going to be cornerback or wide receiver. I think both of you were
actually pounding. I nailed it. I nailed this. I told you. Wait, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Robert De Niro.
You say so many things. It could be this. It could be that. No, I never know.
I said with confidence. I said the first three picks in this draft will be in some order: wide receiver, O-line, cornerback. I did say that. And was it true?
That's correct. That is correct. Yes. I would like to also point out I was the only one who accurately guessed that we would draft John Michael Schmitz in our prediction and that we would trade our first round pick. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's a great prediction.
I mean, I was wrong on both accounts because I decided we were going to trade back in the first round, not up, and that we would pick John Michael Schmitz with the 32nd overall pick, not the 57th in the second round. So I couldn't have been more wrong, but, you know, all about perspective. Deontay Banks, though. The Giants, if we are sensing, ladies and gentlemen, you keep hearing things about, you know, we haven't had Joe Shane in the building long enough. We don't know how he works with his coaches. We can, you know, make assumptions based on the history with Brandon Bean and some of the things that they've done there earlier in their careers. But this is now the second offseason and the second draft that this you know, leadership team has gone through. And the trend that I am seeing is an emphasis on raw athletic potential at premium positions. And starting off with our first round pick, Deontay Banks, 6 foot, 197 pounds. He had a 9.99 RAS relative athletic score, the second all time ever.
Wow.
Third best cornerback coming off the PFF board this past year. I mean, I watched all of his snaps against Marvin Harrison Jr., who people are gushing might be the number one overall pick next year out of Ohio State. And he did not back down from that man. I mean, this is a freak.
I got two things. Not that we're going to mock draft for next year, but I think a guy named Caleb Williams, if he doesn't have the absolute worst year for USC, is going to be your number one pick because someone's going to trade up for him. If they don't need a quarterback, they're going to trade that pick. And we drafted that first pick just makes us more competitive against what we're going to go up against all year. You got to play Dallas twice in that offense. You got to play Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown twice. So what do? You go out and strengthen the defense, strengthen a spot where it's going to directly impact the guys on the opposite side, you know, of the field. that we're going to see two times a year and, you know, four times a year, throwing, you know, the Washington, almost called them Redskins, Commanders.
Washington Redskins, go fuck yourself.
And whoever their quarterback is, we just made our defense that much stronger because he's plug and play. He's starting across from Adoree Jackson day one.
Well, look, you have a potential lockdown cornerback. We'll see what happens when he gets into the field, but the potential is there. Playing opposite against a above average quarterback in Adoree Jackson. I mean, as well as guys like Nick McLeod played, those are special team street players. The upgrade here, the trickle down effect for a defense, even if it's a half a second longer that it takes for their wide receivers to get open because of the upgrade in effectiveness in the secondary, that's better for our pass rush. That's better for Thibodeau. You know, that's clogging up the lanes on early downs. If they're facing, you know, second and 10 off an incompletion instead of second and 4. I mean, in the trickle effect of the massive upgrade potential at that position here, it could be a boon for Martindale's defense.
Oh, I'm really liking the upgrades this team made on defense in the offseason, man, just all together. Yeah, we lost Julian Love, but I mean, I think they're really confident in Belton taking the next step. And McKinney is just...
Belton and McKinney are old news. How do you feel about Banks?
I love Banks. I'm a very, very high on Banks. I always was.
Was he your CB1? Who'd you want?
I mean, I during the draft, I was like, man, Gonzalez might be there. But no, he was not there.
Crazy that he even got Patriots. That close.
I know. He went... Like, we that's the thing. I feel like we jinxed it, but it was just enough because we were like, oh, no wide receivers or no cornerbacks are going. It's like, you know, pick 15, and then all of a sudden they all got picked.
Yeah, but round one could not have gone any better because still with the Giants ready to go, trade or not, they would have had their options of one of two very highly thought of corners that fit their scheme or a freak in Nolan Smith as an edge player. Or any offensive lineman that they wanted to choose if they so chose. So, I mean, the draft broke just so unbelievably well with them. I mean, two running backs from the top 12?
Yeah. No, last year it was perfect. And this year it was great again. Like,
but it's, you know, when it's only five picks, it's one thing. When it's 23 picks,
of course.
A different story. But let's get to my big prize, a Mr. John Michael Schmitz, round two, center out of Minnesota, 6'4", 301 pounds, led all centers in college last year with a 92.3 Pro Football Focus grade. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we are well on the record of saying that PFF is not the be-all, end-all. That is our disclaimer, but it is a baseline, and that's a pretty goddamn good baseline.
He's a lot of places had him center one.
Scheme diverse, ran a lot of different run-blocking schemes, should fit just about anything for your starter. I love this kid, boys.
Yeah, This was my favorite pick of the draft. The first round pick, obviously everyone gets excited. It's sexy. You're talking about it for weeks on end. Then you don't know how things are going to fall. Tippmann went. John Michael Schmitz Jr. was still there. They get the guy. A couple things for me. Shane likes the Power Five in the first three rounds. He goes Big Ten, Big Ten, SEC. You know, you see him and Dable there, Dayball hanging out in his hooded sweatshirt, right? He's our guy. He's a regular.
The pen, the video of him hitting the pen in the draft. No. I don't know if you saw that. Somebody on Twitter was like, "Oh, Dable's a menace. He's hitting the pen on live TV."
Oh, he
shows,
man,
the Giants draft room, and he just got like his fist up to his mouth. That's hilarious. I love it.
I love him in the hoodie, but can we get the guy a blue hoodie? We're big blue. I'm a big guy. I appreciate the slimming effects of a black hooded sweatshirt.
Listen, the camera adds 10 pounds.
But I am not a fan. I just drives me nuts when I see Robert Saleh in his black hooded sweatshirt or black sweater vest. And I'm no Jets fan, obviously. We're here on Big Blue all day. But the Jets are green. The Giants are blue. Come on, let's get with it. But the importance of
merch, send him some swag. Be bad swag, baby.
Yeah. The the move to get Schmitz, I mean, like, you think of centers in the past, in the more recent Giant past, the Super Bowl teams, having Sean O'Hara, having, you know, Bart Oates going back to, you know, Super Bowl 25. After that, Brian Williams playing center. You know, you knew who the center was of the New York Giants. He anchored that offensive line. It's a position where IQ comes into play, you know, that football IQ, knowing what everyone else on the offensive line is doing, being in sync with the quarterback. Not only is Schmitz a four-year starter, but he was multi-time all-academic Big Ten. So he has football IQ. He's a smart kid. It's gonna play into the spot that he plays as he anchors that offensive line. So I just love the fact that we went out. We filled a position of need, but we didn't reach. We got one of the best guys on the board. Shane and Daboll were talking. They were being interviewed post-second round, and they were asked specifically about Tippmann. Believe me, I think they love both players because he said they're both in New York, and I think they're both going to have successful careers. I'm happy that we got Schmitz, and I look forward to him competing and hopefully being out on the field also day one.
Well, you keep saying this move to go out and get Schmitz. I mean, you know, sly like a, I don't know, a fox like a turtle. They didn't do any moves. I was getting so nervous when I guess
somebody was going to jump in front of us and take it.
Same. I mean, I guess when you had both, we have no idea what they were on their boards. But in my mind, it was, look, if it comes down to there's only one of these guys left, they have to go and get him. And maybe that's just not how they felt. I was very scared because I told you the other week what would make me freak out if the Giants didn't get a starting caliber offensive lineman in the first two rounds. But they sat there. They waited. I would have been interested to know if Schmitz had gone or had Osiris Torrance gone a few picks early, would they have traded up and secured their guy? Was O-line always going to be the pick?
I think it was, and honestly, I was kind of surprised they didn't take Torrance. I really like Torrance, and if you had to pick between guard and center, perhaps you could get a quality center later in the draft and take the Torrance. But
so
you know, I'm definitely not mad. I'm definitely not. I'm just saying it was a little bit of a surprise, but it depends on how you grade them, right? If you like, Glowinski's under contract for a while. You got Azudu on a rookie contract, Ben Bredesen. Like, I guess they like the depth. It's left guard and the right guard is not, like, set in stone by any means. But if Schmitz, the center, was that farther up their board in grade, you know how the team's great? Like, the new draft setup, I don't know if you guys watched that Giants Life where they show the new draft room. It was insane.
I've seen pictures of it. I haven't watched that particular program.
Like, they have grades for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Each team, obviously. But I'm not mad about the pick at all. I love it. I played center, so, you know, I love center. Don't get me wrong. I love center.
See, but on one hand, you look at the Mozzie guy that the Cowboys got. You look at the beef that the Eagles got. That I don't want to spend one more second thinking about their draft, my lord. That they got, and you want to say that a guy like Osiris Torrance, 330-plus pounds, you know, just seems like a better fit for who we have to go against within the division. But on the flip side, you look at the context of this team. The Giants haven't had a true center since, what, Weston Richburg? And
correct.
He's been long gone.
And he was actually a decent pick by Reese in the second round.
Decent. Yeah, it was, you know, totally fine. He had some injuries, had to play guard early in his career, but, you know, that's old news.
Listen, I'm
specific
definitely
– Schmitz, though, and this roster makeup, you look at the depth that the Giants have at left guard. I'm not saying that there is, you know, quality, but there is quantity. And enough that makes me – I am much more confident that between Josh Azudu, a recovering McKeithen, Shane Lemieux, and Ben Bredesen, that one of those four can give the Giants, you know, average NFL left guard snaps, more so than the Giants finding one of those to convert to center and then also give average NFL snaps. So
yeah, no, 100%.
I think it's,
we got a quality starter day one at the center position.
Yeah. And if Neil improves even just a little, then we have potentially average to above average at center, right tackle. We have average at right guard and elite at left tackle. Like, the Giants are well on their way to having a consistent, young, balanced, homegrown offensive line for the first time in 15 years, you know,
yeah,
potentially.
Nah, you gotta love it. You absolutely have to love it. I'm so happy with the direction of this team.
So, especially A-plus on John Michael Schmitz, and that brings 100%. Us to our third round. Who was a Hyatt man? Was anybody here? I was anti-Hyatt.
No, you were anti-Hyatt in the first round.
Yeah, and right. I wasn't thinking, let's take this guy. All the other receivers in round one were names I was – I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, I wanted this guy. Yeah, we got him. But I am more than excited that this guy dropped to us in round three, because when you heard his name mentioned, you kept hearing first round grade, you know, speed. He's a burner. He's going to get downfield, which is now you give Daniel Jones another weapon that's going to stretch the field and improve that wide receiver room, which I was looking today. That wide receiver room right now has about 15 guys in it. Crowder, Colin Johnson, David Sills, like all these guys that are back from last year, were brought in, were depth signings. I think a guy like Crowder is a guy that knows the system, that's played under Daboll and Shane when they were up in Buffalo. Some of these guys aren't going to be there day one. Also, some of these guys, Wandale Robinson, Sterling Shepard, are injury guys that may be on the PUP list that we may not see till midseason. So this is going to be a guy that I think is going to get on the field early, 4.4 speed, 40-inch vertical. If you just watch the Alabama film, 5 touchdowns, 207 yards, you think, how does this guy not go in the first round? And for us to get him late, I think this was a super value pick. And I'm really excited to see what this guy's going to do. Dallas coach already put a chip on the kid's shoulder, lit a fire that, you know, he's not a route runner. So hopefully those two Sundays this year, he goes out with something to prove, a little extra, and exciting time for the Giants offense, because, you know, you were able to improve rounds 2 and 3 in spots of need on the offensive side of the ball. So Dable, Kafka, Daniel Jones all have to be excited.
Oh, yeah. He's got the top end speed for sure. You know, I love the chip on the shoulder too, a little bit of extra motivation. We needed a wide receiver in the worst way. I'm not sure if, because I saw that his pro comp was DeSean Jackson, which is obviously a little ironic, all things considered. But, like, he was never, like, the X receiver, you know what I'm saying? But he was that speedy dude who, you know, could beat you on a few streak routes.
So there are three doors. Door number one is Ted Ginn Jr.
Okay.
Door number two is DeSean Jackson. Door number three is a healthy, hopefully not PED using, Will Fuller. I think that is the three Pokemon evolution of what Jalen Hyatt could be. A gig player who's nothing more than a streak returner in Ted Ginn. A potential dangerous weapon, but never a true number, you know, one in DeSean Jackson. And then like a really solid 1B guy, you know, at his best in Will Fuller. I don't know. That's what I see here. But I was scared as hell of him in round one. The value of him in round three, trade up regardless.
I have no problem with that trade up at all.
Look, the fourth round pick is not in, it is valuable, excuse me, especially in this draft. And the Giants could have continued to fill out pieces in depth with it. But if this kid is even 3/4 of what, you know, they thought he could be, and he's not a tiny dude, he's 6 foot. Him and Darius Slayton, you know, together are take the top off the defense speed. And with that combined with Darren Waller in the intermediate routes now, with the space that Giants that they're going to have to give the defense, I mean, again, talk about ripple effects. You know, the potential, if he is a boom, not a bust, it's really, really fascinating to see. And talk about a clever offense that could hide someone who's not an adept or mature route runner earlier in their career. I trust a Dable and Kafka creative offense to find ways to put him in positions to succeed. So since I clearly left you all speechless, let's go ahead and just transition to our segment, Four Down Territory. That's where we look at the top four items of importance for this week with the New York Giants. So this week, we know the top of the draft. That's where we're talking starting caliber. Gentlemen, there's a reason we were so excited, but the back end is for two things: booms or busts. These are guys that have measurables, really athletic, like athletic as hell, but from small colleges, or maybe they haven't performed. Or on the other hand, some really, really productive college players that, yeah, maybe just don't have the athletic elite measurements. So, four down territory this week. Let's look at who the Giants drafted with their last four picks. First down, we got Tommy. What do we got?
You know, in the fifth round, number 172 overall, the Giants added to the running back room and took Eric Gray, running back out of Oklahoma. He's the 37th pick of the fifth round. He projected to be a fourth round pick, so we didn't pick in the fourth round. We were able to get a guy that a lot of people were projecting for round four. This is where you need to add depth, and you need to add guys that are going to help you win, help you get back to the playoffs. 5'9", 200 pounds. He, you know, watching film, he's got a low center of gravity. He looked good in pass protection. And scouts and his grades project him to develop into an average starter. We may need a running back after this year. This could be a guy that turns into somebody that plays, or he could be somebody that complements Saquon because he stays long-term. Breed is still going to be in the room. Brightwell's in the room, but we know he's more of a special teams guy. So we talked earlier about these picks being able to put guys back into positions that they're meant to be in. Brightwell did well when he was asked to carry the ball.
Nicely done. Brightwell did well. I see what you did there, Tommy. You're a dad.
He helped out. He did more than just be a returner and getting down there on kicks. But this could put him back to where he does his best work and allows for Breida to be out on the field at times with Barkley. And then you have a guy that, if something happens to one of those guys, can fill in. I think he also has some experience in the return game. I think this guy's a potential starter that'll be able to contribute a little bit early on and be a depth piece and develop into somebody that you can trust putting out on the field and spelling your starter a little bit. Do I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl stud? No, but I think for a fifth rounder, he's going to serve us well. And I think we made a good pick.
So Tommy, the knock on him has been his top end speed, that his 40 yard dash. I don't have the numbers on me, but that has been generally one of the negative comments about him. That he's not the fastest running back.
Not elusive. He's going to get caught from behind. He's not going to hit any home runs. You know, we've seen that before with some Giant running backs that, you know, they're going to do the work that they need to do at the line of scrimmage and, you know, create that cloud of dust and pick up the 4 or 5 yards, maybe a nice 10-yarder, but they're not popping off the 50-yard run.
I got his 40 right here. 4.62.
Not overly fast.
No.
But not, you know, the slowest person in the world, obviously.
No, for sure. Definitely faster than me. Listen.
Me included. So the last few things that stick out about Eric Gray here is we're talking about round five, 172nd pick, compensatory pick here, right? We talked about boom bust. We're looking for measurables. Well, this guy has both elite measurables as well as the production. So 99 receptions in his career for 827 yards and 5 TDs. This guy's got hands. He's had 23 plus catches in every productive year that he's had in college. He adds multiple dimensions to the game, and he has what is rated as a 96.2 elusive rating. So I, as well, am not worried about that top end speed. So Giants fans out there that are, think about this. How often are running backs running a straight line 40-yard dash? It is that quick move, that side to side, that juke, that one cut in the ground and change of direction to hit the hole that makes the difference between good and great backs. And I think this Eric Gray guy really shows the capability of doing that. So, you know, love me some Saquon, but I'm feeling better even just with a fifth round pick. It's very exciting stuff. So round two, or down two, excuse me, track suit. Who do we got, Bubby? Sixth round.
Sixth round at 209 overall. We got it in the Kadarius Toney trade. Trey Hawkins, the third cornerback, Old Dominion. So this guy's kind of interesting story. He didn't really get any offers out of high school. He did junior college for 2 years, then kind of got picked up by Old Dominion, which I only know from O'Shane Zimenez, really. I don't know much about Old Dominion University other than that. So my call is, like, I don't think he's going to be a starter. I think cornerback is really locked up between Banks, Jackson, and Flott. I think those are going to be the top three. I think he's going to be a special teamer. I think he's going to be depth. Like, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Aaron Robinsons of the world. You know, those guys, I don't know how many cornerbacks are going to bring onto the roster. And the thing about this year that we must note is that the cut goes from 90 to 53 in one day, which is crazy. I don't know if you heard that, John.
Yeah, that is wild. I remember, but, or I mean, I didn't remember until you mentioned it, but I had heard it earlier.
Okay. So he's got good long speed, but not a lot of short-term agility. And one thing, he has improved every year that he's played, and he cut down his penalties from 6 in 2021 to just 1 in 2022. So I think it's a high upside potential. I don't see an immediate impact. I think it's a good investment. You know, you never know. Like, we might finally have a coaching staff that really, like, sees things through and actually develops talent. Let's hope for it.
That's well, we're also got. Just raising the floor of this depth chart.
Yes, raise exactly. I mean, like, dude, like the James Betcher years, like, dude, you know what I'm saying? What was the guy's name?
I can't even think about it right now. The guys who they were playing cornerback for us. I know exactly who you're talking about, and it's the name escapes me.
Isaac
right
Yiddum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. but I mean, guys like Rodarius Williams and Zion Gilbert and Nick McLeod, who we were depending on for massive, massive snaps last year as starters, might not even be on the roster given the elevation of the floor of the cornerback room. And I'll just say one thing about Trey Hawkins. I mean, well, two, I suppose, but I mean, 6'1", 197 pounds with a 4.39 40-yard dash. The dude's got speed and size coming out of Old Dominion. But again, coming back to the trends that we are talking about Joe Shane here, what can we start to see that maybe gives us clues to how he looks at prospects? Talking about a 6th-round pick or with traits, again, measurables, 9.82 RAS score, the 40th out of 2,222 cornerbacks that were graded by RAS from 1997 to 2023. So we have the number one and the 40th cornerback in relative athletic score
of all time
over this entire century, you know, essentially.
No, it's I think that this regime definitely takes relative athletic score very seriously.
Clearly.
It's very clear that they love it and they're willing to bet on raw athleticism and mold them into football players.
And let Wink coach him up. Let's give him some traits to actually compete. All right, we love it. We're talking myself into being jacked up about this pick. Let's go. Trey Hawkins III. I love it. Come on down. Third down, Tommy. 7th round. What do we got?
You know, now we're getting to the point in the draft where you want to get somebody that's you know, a diamond in the rough. The pick here, Jordan Riley, defensive lineman out of Oregon, looks like he's a nose tackle type, big guy, 6'5", 340 pounds approximately. His little experience, he was a transfer, little experience at the FBS level, not a lot of snaps as a starter or as a person that was in a rotation. He's a depth guy. He's somebody that's going to be bottom, you know, the roster, rotational nose tackle, probably looking at the practice squad. And this is a place where we added in the offseason a week ago, right? We're signing a big free agent defensive tackle, you know, Ashawn, Nacho. We have Leonard Williams. We have Dexter Lawrence. We have, you know, the defensive line room pretty full and guys that can move around on that defensive line and aren't just guys that are locked into one spot. So this could be a guy that ends up on someone else's roster. Maybe he ends up on our practice squad, you know, later in the season. He's activated because we know what happens with injuries in the NFL. But I don't see this as somebody that long-term we're going to be talking about as this great find that Joe Shane made. But he is the Giants GM, and we're talking about him and the moves that he made. I'm taking the look at this and saying not a guy that is going to add a lot. It's going to be a guy probably playing a lot in the preseason, fighting for a spot somewhere, but might not be here with the New York Football Giants.
It's DJ Davidson replacement or insurance. The kid unfortunately tore his ACL early on. Talk about raising the floor. That kid was playing snaps in week one. Whoever takes this roster spot is not playing over the three players that we just mentioned that are going to be above them, but not the point. It is a late round, massive fat boy to plug the middle, and it's either going to be a healthy DJ Davidson or Jordan Riley taking that last interior D-line spot. So couldn't agree more. We'll see. You know, you never know. Maybe he's more than that, but I'll take depth at run defense. Fourth down, tracksuit, and beyond. So seventh round and beyond. What do you got for us? Bring it home.
Fourth down is our seventh round pick. 254 overall, Jarvarius Owens, safety, Houston. So I think this guy is going to probably be the obviously the third safety behind McKinney and Belton. He's going to get some special teams looks. I would like to note in 2019, he started almost all games, all but one, and he had two block punts, which is a nice little tidbit.
We'll tell any special teams juice. Give me the juice on some special teams. That's, for the love of God.
That is the juice. I think he's definitely a backup. At least for now, he's definitely going to be on the special teams. He did, as a safety, have four tackles for a loss in 2021. Not too bad.
We'll see if he even makes the roster.
You know? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Camp body.
Four-year starter at Houston. I mean, listen, not terrible. His grade was a fifth-round to sixth-round grade from Dane Brugler. You know, got him at the end of the seventh round. Again, value.
And, heck, so, the Giants have no sure things beyond Xavier McKinney in the safety room. We've got 100%. The names that are fine.
Guy could be a long-term guy. He could be not on the 53-man roster come September.
Exactly.
So I have no idea what's going to happen. It's a seventh-round pick. You can't expect much. I like the pick. Listen, it's a nice little pick.
So before we grade it out and say goodnight to the Giants Nation, who out there in the ether, in the abyss of the undrafted free agent wasteland, the next, everyone loves to say Victor Cruz. So, boys, who are you, your diaper dandies?
I have a guy I mentioned last week as a late-round guy where I was even thinking fourth or fifth round. That wide receiver I mentioned out of West Virginia, Bryce Ford Wheaton. His comparables were, DK Metcalf. I'm even going to make you say I'm crazy and mention Megatron Calvin Johnson, but we're going to listen. I have a quote for you. Sometimes you look like Calvin Johnson, but sometimes you look like you couldn't start on a JUCO team in Iowa is something that he recalled being told by scouts. And that came from Mike Osti. So this is a guy that very inconsistent at West Virginia. And I think that's part of the problem and the reason he fell off teams' draft boards and went undrafted. And was one of the early signings that I saw come over Twitter for the Giants as an undrafted free agent. The size, 6'3", 221, runs a 4.38 40, 41-inch vertical, 15 career touchdowns at West Virginia, but just was inconsistent. So mentioned up there with a DK Metcalf, the out there comparison of, Megatron, but the next time you get on the field, you look like, you're getting thrown off a JUCO team on last chance you. So this is a guy that if he comes in and has a strong camp, I don't think he's a guy just based on his size and his measurables is going to make it to our practice squad. But we have a lot of injuries. We have a lot of guys that are probably going to start the season on the pup. This could be a guy that if he comes into camp and does what he's supposed to do, we know from last year and with wide receivers, Daboll will reward them for doing what they're supposed to do and looking good in practice, and they can earn time and earn a roster spot. So I'm rooting for this kid. Hopefully he comes out and he is our next Victor Cruz makes a difference.
You have Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson, Jamison Crowder, Colin Johnson. Just off the top of my head, that's four wide receivers on this depth chart that are all coming back from serious, to semi-serious injuries. some of which, if not definitely two, could be starting on PUP. So to your point, there's going to be camp competition and snaps to go around. And I love the name. Bryce Ford Wheaton just rolls off the
board. You have Slayton, who was a guy that could have been cut last year. He did a great job for us with what we were looking at last year in the wide receiver room. If he has a bad camp, he's probably a guy that gets cut, one of those veteran cutdowns.
No way. We can debate that all week, but now you're talking crazy. That's right.
You got a guy like Jeff Smith. He's going to make the roster as a returner. He's a returner. So there might be room for him, but there's going to be things that happen during camp with some of these guys.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong there, and we're going to have all offseason to talk through it. So, boys, grade it out. Tommy, take it away. What do you got? A through F, giving them a scorecard. Shane and company, how'd they do in their second NFL draft?
Rounds 1 through 3, A+. The rest of the draft, I'm going to say B to B+, so I'm going to give them a final grade of an A. I liked it. I think you really made yourself better. And by the end of the season, you added 3 guys that are going to be starting on Sundays for the New York Giants in rounds 1 through 3.
Team, Tommy is an educator. Joe Shane and company didn't. Damn it. He didn't give them that grade. They earned that grade. Wow. It's way worse when it's not as smooth. I wish we could cut that. Anyways, Tracksuit Mike, grade it out.
A+. Any draft that you can find 3 starters is a tip-top draft. That's what I believe Mike Tannenbaum said on ESPN Radio once. I heard him say that.
Tannenbaum sucks.
I'm just saying, that's a guy that's done the job before. Yeah, obviously he's not still employed as a GM. But I believe it because he's done the job before. And, like, I mean, look back at, like, the recent Gettleman drafts, man.
Knows more than me, and who cares? I'll take the praise. Yay, Giants.
Yes. So I like the fact that these guys, like 3 of those guys, could be starters on this team for a serious amount of time. Love it. Not much to really hate about it. So guess what? It's A+ because I am a homer and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, you know, I can't knock you. I'm going to be a realistic B+ team. I think, you know, look, love Deontay Banks, but until we see how him versus Joey Porter Jr. shake out over the next 3 years, that's going to be the debate. If Deontay Banks isn't 2 picks better than him, it's going to be a good pick, but we didn't need to trade up. You know, John Michael Schmitz, it was great. But look, Joe Shane and company sat there and waited because they liked how their board looked. I would be feeling a lot differently if the Giants didn't get Torrance or Schmitz at that pick. And it's entirely possible 9 times out of 10 they're not there. Love the picks, but I'm not going to go crazy about it. Jalen Hyatt, again, it's crazy to think that all 3 of these picks were at one time projected to be the Giants pick at 25. That is wild, and on paper sounds like amazing value, but I said it the other week and I'll say it again. Jalen Hyatt scares me. Listening to him speak, you really want to think he's going to make me pay for doubting
him.
He loves this team, dude.
I really
love the kid already, but based on what he put in college on tape, I am scared that he is going to be nothing more than a Ted Ginn. And if you trade up assets to go get a special teamer and at best complimentary wide receiver, I'm sorry, it's not amazing. So B+, I'm very excited. We'll see how the depth works out, but I got to be honest with how I feel. B+, do the trades, and we'll revisit it in a couple years, and you can read it on bbad.com. All right. All right, team, let's not bicker over who killed who and end tonight with the fact that Kansas City and the NFL draft were simply not aware that the Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
Joe Shane improved them.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For Tracksuit Mike and Rahway Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. I'm back. I'm back.